this time. Please silence all your cell phones or any other noise-making devices.
Board works from a prepared
agenda. We're considering the administrative appeal of Jonathan Tibbetts to allow the construction of an accessory dwelling in the general purpose district where it was prohibited by the Lyman Code Enforcement Officer. Burden of proof is upon the applicant to demonstrate compliance with the provisions of the applicable ordinance or ordinances. After the board votes on the merits of the application, it will prepare a written opinion. Appeals from adverse decisions must be filed with Superior Court within 45 days of the board's decision. Also, to be certain that you preserve your individual right to file any such appeal, you must be certain that this board's record evidences your appearance this evening and the basis for your support or opposition. Please record your attendance on the sign-in sheet by the printing and signing your name. Again, remember, this is a public proceeding, and you have the right to hear and see everything that's happening. All persons speaking will be asked to first state their name and address or affiliation. First preliminary business quorum, we do have three members here tonight, which constitutes a quorum for the purpose of the meeting. But you do have the option to delay the proceeding in hopes of maybe getting a full board someday. Okay, so that's fine. So three words. But timeliness of appeal. The appeal was submitted 29 September 2021. When was the accessory structure denied?
August 30th, 2021.
Okay, so that's within 30 days. So that's timely. In summary of the case, the appellant thinks the code enforcement officer misinterpreted section 6.3.1b of the zoning ordinance, which states, in the general purpose district, there shall be no more than one building for each principal use, and not more than two buildings for an accessory use, as limited by lot coverage requirements. He currently has a house, a garage, a lean-to barn, a covered building, and a recently permitted post and beam barn, all of which serve different primary purposes. Therefore, he should be allowed to construct an accessory dwelling as his sole accessory building. As far as the jurisdiction goes, the type of review to be conducted by the board here, Section 8.3.9 of the zoning ordinance states that the ZBA shall be on an appellate basis and shall be limited to review of the record developed before at the time of the hearing, at the time that you made your decision from the code enforcement officer anyway. Any appeal from a decision of the ZBA has to be made with Superior Court within 45 days. Conflict of interest or bias. Any board member have any direct or indirect pecuniary interest in the subject matter of the application? Please make it known. I have none either. The appellant has standing to appeal as the registered owner of the property, and a complete application has been filed. So that's pretty much all the preliminary business. Now we can get down to the meat of everything. First item, the presentation by you, the applicant, and your attorney or witnesses, any of those, without interruption. Give it your best shot.
As we stated, I have a house on 53 Sweats Lane. I'm looking to put up an accessory dwelling. The accessory dwelling isn't going to be for financial profit. It is just an accessory dwelling for an in-law apartment. Other buildings on my property that were listed, I also run a farm, off of my property. So those buildings are income to me. One of the buildings that we're putting up is a calving barn, has principal use. Another building we have is a weaning barn. The only accessory dwelling that I would consider on my property would be my garage. I feel that that's tied into my house. It doesn't stand alone as a business. The accessory dwelling, which the ordinance allows me to have two, definition of the accessory dwelling fits in the definition of the accessory buildings. And where the, in the general purpose, it allows for each principal use. That doesn't say one principal use and two accessory dwellings. I don't think I'd have a case if there was allowed one one principal building. Where this is where I live and run my business out of, it's a little bit different than if I live there and work somewhere else. So that's why I feel that the code enforcement officer made the wrong determination of me having several accessory dwellings already. And that's my issue. The other issue with this is if you follow precedents that I've been in this town for quite a while, we've got quite a few building permits. I have another greenhouse center where we've got three greenhouses along with a house, along with a garage that all have permits. So this is a relatively new thing to be interpreted this way, which is my concern with this. If this basically takes a general purpose district and makes it a residential district with the addition of two garages, it's hard to run a business out of that or have a home business the way that's been interpreted. That's my opinion of this.
Okay, very good. Code enforcement officer.
Hey.
You're up.
Okay.
Well, that's a comment, that's right. Never mind.
So, I'm going to give some details about the lot. The lot size is 11.1 acres. There is currently a residence, Jonathan listed the structures on there.
Okay.
According to section 6.2.2, the maximum lot coverage for buildings in the general purpose zone is 20%. Mm-hmm. The permit was denied based on MMA's advice after the last decision of the zoning board. And I'll read, it's kind of lengthy, but I think it's important to read their advice to show you why I denied it. From them. First, it is apparent that there is a conflict in your ordinance about whether more than one principal use can be established on a lot. The definition of principal use is the use to which the lot is primarily devoted, emphasis added. This definition indicates to me that only one principal use is contemplated. However, section 6.3.1b states that there shall be no more than one building for each principal use, which indicates that more than one principal use is allowed on the lot. This interpretation is supported by the language in section 6.3.1a as well, which seems to limit principal uses and buildings to one per lot in a residential district. Applying these conflicting interpretations to the permit in question, there are two ways to go about assessing the application. One, if you interpret the ordinance to mean that only one principal use is allowed, then you would have to determine which is the principal use, the farm or the residence. I'm not sure how to assist in that determination, but I might suggest a fact-based assessment regarding the dominant use of the lot, maybe using square footage. If you consider the residence to be the accessory use, then according to 6.3.1b, that use could have up to two structures, the house and the garage. If you interpret the ordinance to allow more than one principal use, in parentheses it says, which is my inclination, then both residential and farming could be considered principal uses, and the house and cow barn would be considered the allowed principal buildings. But this brings me to the second apparent conflict in the ordinance. Section 10.6 in the general townwide regulation states that one accessory dwelling unit is allowed on a lot where an owner-occupied single-family dwelling is located. However, when reading in conjunction with Section 6.3.1b, such an accessory dwelling unit does not seem to be allowed if it will be in a separate building, since this section only allows one building per principal use, regardless of whether it's an accessory structure or a principal structure. This interpretation would also indicate that the separate garage is an illegal structure. I am not comfortable with either of these interpretations, but it does appear that your ordinance requires you to deny a permit for a new building to house an accessory dwelling unit on this lot. However, given the uncertainty of the language in your ordinance, I encourage you to contact your town attorney to advise you on the next steps. The town attorney advised that he would lean towards the possibility of allowing more than one principal use. However, to permit this detached accessory building, it would result in too many buildings, and this accessory use may have to be connected to another structure. That's why I denied the permit. Now I want to speak about why I feel like I don't agree with either of those interpretations.
Okay. You're going to muddy the waters a little more.
Well, I had to follow legal advice, and this is why we're here, for you to tell me how this should be interpreted. I don't agree. Well, let's start off with the general purpose district. There are uses listed that envision a residence and a business, which the wording of section 631B would come into play. Along with residences, the GP zone allows agriculture, bed and breakfast, business contractor, commercial facilities, farming, medical marijuana production facility, outdoor recreation, personal service business, recreation facility, recycling, retail, sawmill, special event facilities, for example. It is my opinion and has been my interpretation, and I think the examples I'm about to show was the interpretation of previous code officers in the past, that there can be more than one principal use and therefore more than one principal structure in the GP district. A little history on zoning in regard to principal structures. The zoning ordinance in 1976 through 2002 discussed more than one principal building by saying, if more than one principal building is constructed on a single lot, all dimensional requirements shall be met separately for each principal use. In 2004, the only thing related to the number of buildings in the zoning ordinance states, permitted uses and conditional uses shall conform to all dimensional requirements and other applicable requirements of this ordinance, which to me says similar to what the first paragraph said. You need the amount of lot dimensional requirements for each use. In 2005, the ordinance was totally rewritten, and it is then that the wording we see today was adopted. There shall be no more than one building for each principal use, and no more than two buildings for an accessory use, as limited by lot coverage requirements. And that's where that section 6.2 comes in, with the lot coverage requirement for buildings is 20%. Traditionally, the zoning envisioned multiple uses in the GP district, and I don't think today's wording should be interpreted otherwise. Given that we are to encourage businesses in all zones per the comprehensive plan, and we allow farming, which typically has multiple buildings in the GP zone, we allow attached, detached accessory dwellings per section 10.6 of the ordinance. I would like to give examples of multiple properties where there are a residence and other principal structures. Saving that one for last. This is the property in question. Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
This is a property on South Waterboro Road with a house and a landscaping business. This is a property on Old North Berwick Road with a residence and multiple farm buildings.
Typical farm. Is that like your, kind of like your farm?
That's the one I rent.
Oh.
Tibbetts Lane, same residence with multiple farm buildings. Mm-hmm. Alfred Road, Winding Brook Farm. Alfred Road, where you can see there was recently a number of greenhouses that they removed only because they moved out of town, not because we made them tear them down. Mm-hmm. But they were permitted. Kennebunk Pond Road, residence with multiple farm buildings. Spotswoods Road that has two examples on the same page. One is a greenhouse company, and one is a farm, horse farm, or farm across the street.
Come and have a seat here, Art. That's all right.
Sorry for being late.
We'll get you caught up, sort of.
I'm not repeating anything.
Well, then you won't get my vote.
Grounds Lane with residents in multiple buildings. Howard Road, which is another farm. Sweats Lane, which is a well drilling company, a residence, and an office building.
You were busy flying around taking these photos.
Yeah, I had fun with it. Then I want to make an example of a 2017 permit I denied for a detached accessory dwelling. Because then the ordinance said an accessory dwelling structure is allowed within a single-family residence. We since took the word within a single-family residence out. That person appealed that decision, and the zoning board overturned that, saying that detached accessory dwellings should be allowed. And that was the intent of the ordinance. That's the intent of why we changed it. And that, this is the depiction of a house, a separate accessory dwelling, and a garage. So I'm going to end with, if there can be two principal uses, which I believe there can, why can't there be three or more, as limited by lot coverage? In this case, a residence being the first principal use, accessory dwelling being the second, and a farm being the third. As long as each of these principal structures combined do not exceed the lot coverage limitation placed on that section, which in this case, for 11.1 acres, the lot coverage could not exceed 96,703 square feet.
And that's, we're not even close to that here.
No.
Not even, that's not really an issue with lot coverage, so.
Can I summarize for Art?
Yeah, go ahead.
Quickly.
Give him a quick summary. Pass those photos back down
after
here
so we can take a look at those. What I read from, if that helps.
Sure. And then we can pass them around to the audience and everybody can get a chance to look at them.
I explained what made me deny the permit, and then I explained why I think the interpretations I received that I don't agree with. And I'm asking the board to, well, agree in favor of the applicant, really. I think that's the way we've interpreted it for years.
Well, is it your opinion that the permit needs a variance?
No.
Well, it's really not a variance that he sees, because it would be going against the... Well, it's really an interpretation of the ordinance of what we're looking for, rather than a variance.
Right.
So...
Well, can I see the appeal?
I sent it to you. let's see, do I have a copy of it? I don't have a copy of it here.
Right here.
You got yours?
Are these examples of
all things similar to what he's asking for that historically we
historically got that one in.
And up to recently.
Up till very recently. I received greenhouse preferences.
Right.
And my last bond permit was approved a couple months before I was denied the accessory dwelling.
The post and medium bar.
Yeah. Yep.
So, go ahead, Art.
I was just going to say, if you agree that there was a misinterpretation,
I don't agree with the legal advice that I received to deny the permit. But
she went to MMA and to the town attorney, and both of them said basically
that there was a lot of conflict.
There was a lot of conflict in the way the ordinance was written,
and so their advice was to deny it.
Yeah. So we are, a presentation by the code enforcement officer is complete, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, so we're down to questions through the chair to the applicant and code enforcement officer by board members and people, anybody that will be directly affected by the project, or any abutters, for instance. And a request for more detailed information on the evidence presented by the applicant. So that's where we are right now. So questions are now allowed of our applicant and our CEO. If you have any questions, I'm sure Art's going to come up with more questions as he gets up to speed here. We'll give him a little bit of time to get up to speed. When you said something along the line, we're talking principal uses of a property, and you said, well, you're a residence, and you said a farm. Now, a farm generally has multiple buildings anyway. I mean, like he's got a calving barn and a, what was the other one?
I have a calving barn, I have a weaning barn.
Weaning barn, yeah. How many structures is a, you know, is a farm allowed on a general purpose? You've got a large piece of property, 11 acres.
The other issue is with ensuring it. Insurance companies like those buildings split up. They don't want one large barn.
They don't want, yeah.
So they want hay separate from calving, so if there is a fire, you don't lose
you
a
don't lose
100 by 200 barn, you lose a 50 by 50 barn.
Okay.
Which is kind of what I had gone forward with. I've been talking with Patty about these projects for a while, and this has not come up, so it was never concerned. I got my first permit for a barn, and then this was kind of the next step, and there was a changing in the interpretation of this zoning, which, and that's why I'm here, because I feel like it was misinterpreted or misinterpreted the way it's, and I realize that it's cluttered with the conflicts between the ordinances, but I think precedent takes
precedence
here, because it's
yeah.
It's been interpreted this way through several code enforcement officers for a while.
What about the possibility of making your accessory dwelling attached? Is that not a possibility?
It's not where I'm set up to do. The idea was to put a mobile home in, and we have already bought the mobile home.
It's hard to attach that. Yeah,
and it's hard to attach that. And where my residence is, it's kind of in the corner of the property, and there's no way for me really to attach anything. So
the other thought was subdivision of your property into 2 5-acre lots, since 5 acres is the minimum size.
Yep, and if I have to go that route, I might do that.
With your house in the corner, of course, I mean,
but it's,
I don't know how that works, but you know, that was another thought.
It is. My issue with that is it's more taxes, it's more expense, and this isn't a building I'm making money on. It's a true in-law apartment.
Right.
You know, so... Okay. And that's why I haven't gone this route. I've come here first saying, can I get a reinterpretation of this, and can we clear this up before I go through the next step?
Any thoughts on this, Russ?
No, I think I'm ready.
You're ready. Man, you're up to speed fast.
Yep.
Okay. Bruce?
No, I'm good.
You're good, too. Okay. Art, you getting spun up here?
Is there going to be anybody speaking from the audience?
Well, we really haven't. I haven't seen anybody but just really itching to go, but no, we could, you know, if they have any abutters or... other, yeah, because we're down to a butter, so, but once we get,
we'll
continue down for anybody eventually. I mean, you guys are just anybody, you know.
Well, we are, yeah.
So we're looking for butters right now for any questions, but did you have something before that?
No.
No, okay. Do we have any butters that have any questions? How did they put that? Here's presentations, and the butters, and requests for more detailed information, anything like that from the butters, people that will be affected by this. Okay, well, let's continue down, and we'll go down further, and then if you've got questions later, or we can still address those. Questions by the applicant and board members through the chair to the people directly affected and witnesses who made presentations. We didn't really have any of those. I don't think we have them in that category. Any rebuttal statements by any people who testified previously? comments or questions by any other interested people? Any other interested people?
I'm an interested person. My name is Don Hernan. I'm on the planning board. And I just remember a previous zoning board appeal or decision. Seems like it talked about principal uses and buildings, et cetera, et cetera. And the only concern I have would be that possibly the zoning board, when you have time or whatever, could provide either suggested wording or comments on the existing ordinance, because if it is possible to interpret the ordinance in more than one way, it appears to me that that is something that should be fixed, which would require it going to the voters at an election.
Right.
So it's. I'm sure that the code enforcement, I'm not sure, but I would suspect the code enforcement officer and the applicant, they both want to follow the ordinance, but the ordinance is not as clear as it might be. And obviously with interpretations from MMA and then the interpretation that the Zoning Board of Appeals made on a previous application, it looks like there's more than one way to interpret the ordinance. So, I mean, that's something that needs to be, not necessarily for this particular item, but this project, but it needs to be fixed so that we can only interpret the ordinance in one way, and that, of course, would have to go to the voters if the wording is changed. So my only comment would be, I would hope that possibly the zoning, I know you did submit some comments on the zoning ordinance because we are starting a review in the planning board of the ordinance because we're talking about it anyway.
That was basically my response back to you on that for the request on changes was, I think the planning board really needs to sit down and think, you know, where are we headed with the development of the town and what are we looking for? I mean, bring these cases up like this. We got a farm, we got multiple uses, you know.
Well, there is a comprehensive plan which was reviewed in, I think, 2020. I was a member of that committee. And it has a lot of responsibility. The only problem with the comprehensive plan, to be honest with everybody, is that it sounds good and it has action items, but in my opinion, there is not much follow-up on that.
Okay.
And that's because everyone is busy doing certain things, et cetera, and it, you know, just goes on and on. This comprehensive plan says this, and I think the planning board is trying to be as friendly as possible to businesses. An example would be if you look at the corner of 35 and 111, there's a lot of work going on there. Those projects went through the planning board. They were properly presented and prepared and approved. So we're trying to be friendly to businesses, but if there's an issue with the ordinance, then we should try to get the wording so you can only have one interpretation, not two, mm-hmm. so we don't run into this. And but the zoning board in the past decision seemed to go the other way. I don't know, maybe I'm misinterpreting your comments from previous decision. I know you're not bound by each decision, so I don't think you are. So, my comment is, please, if you have comments, you should give us something that would be helpful on the ordinance. Thank you.
Our ZBA will think about that, and if we get up with any great ideas, we'll definitely let you know on that, Don. Thanks.
Thank you.
Yeah.
My issue with interpreting the general purpose zone as basically one primary and two accessory dwellings, that might as well be a residential zone, you know. Business can't grow with two buildings, especially if they've got a garage on it and they decide to put up a pergola for their pool. Then you can't do anything there. You've got to work out of whatever you have or you've got to add on to it. And that's, I don't think the general purpose zone was meant to be a residential zone. We have a residential zone that's limited to residential stuff. If you want business to grow, it needs to be in the either general purpose or it needs another zoning. And it doesn't make sense to buy a commercial property to get in Lyman to start a business. Mm-hmm. There's too much upfront cost. It's too risky to do that. So most of your businesses in Lyman, if Lyman wants business in here, has to start in this general purpose from out of some guy's house. And this, the way it is interpreted as one use and two accessory dwelling, makes it very hard to do that.
Any other questions from anyone, comments or anything? Bart, do you have any come up with anything yet?
Why? What is your interpretation of the MMA's interpretation.
You want to read that MMA thing again for, or just for our?
No, no, he's talking about.
Okay, good.
So they're inclined to say there can be more than one principal use. They feel like the allowing an accessory dwelling conflicts with one principal use, and I think an accessory dwelling can be considered its own principal use.
Well, it's not necessarily an accessory. I mean, like, is a barn an accessory building to the house, or is it a principal building for the farm?
I would call it a principal building for the farm.
Yeah, definitely for the farm.
It's not a hobby farm. I mean, this is how I make my income.
It's not a gentleman's farm.
You know, so it's, if I had a garage and I had three cows and I was not trying to make an income, those could be looked as accessory buildings. But this is actually, I actually make my money farming. So I would consider those primary uses.
So basically your argument is that you've got two principal uses in a general purpose district.
Yes.
And you're allowed how many accessory buildings for each principal use?
Well, that isn't specified. It just says two accessory structures total. And then as many primary structures for
two,
each principal
use. Is it two for each principal?
Two for each principal use. And that's how it's written, is each principal use.
It says, there shall be no more than one building for each principal use, comma, and no more than two buildings for an accessory use as limited by lot coverage requirements.
Well, how many buildings can be considered principal use on a farm?
Well, and that's the other gray area, is if,
The weaning barn and the calving barn.
Right. I have barns, I have a barn that we're putting up, it's going to have 35 animals in it, that those are going to be mother cows. Yeah, those are cows. I have another barn that's already put up that's a weaning barn. Once I wean those calves, they go into that barn. So if I would consider those primary uses, I mean, they all fall under farming practices or farming, but if the barn has a single purpose, I would think it would be a primary use. To me, an accessory building would be a sawdust shed that I put up to bed my cows. I mean, that supplements my barn. You know, I'm not trying to make money off of that barn. Or if I have an equipment shed I put up that houses my tractors, those would be my definition of an accessory use. Because I'm not making money off of those. They're to support buildings I'm making money off of.
Well, for that, is there anything that would stop him from having three principal uses?
That's one of the last things I said, is I think there can be more than one principal use, and I don't think there is anything that says there's a limit to those except for the lot coverage requirements.
Right.
If there can be one, I think there can be two, and why can't there be three?
So what do you think you have three principal uses? You've already named two.
But it's solid.
Right now, I'm renting a farm on Old North Warwick Road where my cows are. So on my property, all I have is my weaned calves. So I have a barn there that's their principal use, is a weaning barn. One of the permits I got was to move my cows from Old North Warwick Road to my house. To me, if I have a barn that is a cow barn where I plan on doing breeding and calving, that would be the use of that barn. That would be a principal use. Those are separate from each other. There's businesses set up where they're just weaning barns. There's businesses set up where they're just calving barns. So if I am in two different properties with two different groups of animals, why can't I be on one property with two different groups of animals and then both them be a principal use? Is my interpretation of this, and I realize that it's very muddy when you get into this and start reading ordinances back and forth, and there's not a lot of cohesion between them.
Maurice, you had a question or comment?
Why, why aren't you lumping this all into one use? This is farming. Everything that Jonathan's talking about is a progression of from birth to death of these animals, right? But it's all one use. He's bringing them to market to peddle to me or sell the livestock off. You know, so it's all one use. It isn't just because he's got to build it out here or build it out here or build it out here. It's all the same use. You know, I just think you're nitpicking a little bit. That's all I'm saying. I mean, he's got 11 acres there. It isn't like he's on a 40,000 square foot lot.
Well, do you feel that do you agree with John that there's a misinterpretation?
I think it's poor writing in the zoning. I think it's poor writing in the zoning.
Yeah, aside from that, but I mean,
I don't think it's Ben's fault or Jonathan's fault or the planning board's fault or anything like that. I think when that was put together, it's poor writing. They didn't do a very good job of addressing it, something that's in the general purpose zone.
But I mean, if you were to say that there is just one principal use, that would further limit his ability to have accessory buildings.
No, I'm saying the principal use does not limit the building, the amount of buildings he put up. What I'm saying is, if he's got one principal use, he can. If he needs three or four buildings for that principal use, it shouldn't be restricted other than setbacks.
Okay, but maybe it shouldn't be restricted. But it is restricted, correct?
But it shouldn't be.
Okay, but what we're dealing with is with what is here now.
I guess
canvas somehow or another to get a change to the zoning laws. But until there's a change, I mean, I don't think that the Board of Appeals has the right to just throw out the language.
No, I don't think you do either.
We basically have to make a determination.
I don't think you do either, but you need to find a way around this. Because I'm serious.
Yeah.
You're really restricting this man from his livelihood on a piece of land he's got 11 acres on that he can't put more than one or two buildings up to support his income. You know, I mean, there's a definite problem here.
Yeah. No, I mean, I'm actually fairly... I find compelling the argument that he's got three different principal uses. Technically.
What's the third?
Well, he's got 11 acres.
The one is the one type of calving, and the other is the other type of calving.
Yeah.
They each have separate...
That's enough principal uses.
That's helping him.
Boris, yeah. He's agreeing?
I'm saying that I find compelling the argument that he actually has three principal uses, that he wants to have three principal uses on his property,
yes.
Which allows him to have two accessory buildings for each principal use, so long as the coverage doesn't exceed
the
20%.
Yep. But how do you get around it?
I think that's getting around it.
You do think so, Patty?
No. It's not getting around it.
It's interpreting the ordinance.
Well, I think what he's saying is a gross misinterpretation of what's written in the ordinance. That's my personal opinion.
My
name is Roger Tito.
Thank you, Roger.
And just, why do you you feel that what John is saying is a misinterpretation?
I do.
Why?
Because we were here for another appeal for the same thing.
Which one was that?
I think we're talking about the marijuana facility.
Mm-hmm. And you went one way with it, so we're supposed to interpret the ordinance that way.
Well, was in that particular case, as I recall, there was only one principal use that was argued, was there not? And then with the one principal use, there were too many accessory buildings. If they said they had two different principal, because this was not a case, for example, I would suggest that for the marijuana organization, if they had a separate farm where they grew it and a separate place where they sold it, that would be two different principal uses. And each one of them could have up to two accessory buildings. But But one of them couldn't have five buildings and the other one have zero buildings. Because that's the way the ordinance is written.
Well, my interpretation is you're bending it to fit your need.
Well,
that's
you're
my interpretation of what you're saying.
Well, my own opinion is that this is, it's Morris, right? As Morris said, very poorly written. That there's an indication that in one part of the ordinance it talks about limiting each property to one principal activity, and in another one it clearly states that you can have more than one because it says each individual principal. And it doesn't limit it to two. So the key here is how many principal. I mean, I don't know if he applied in this manner, but it does seem to me that it's John has the right to at least present to the code enforcement officer that. He has his dwelling, which is one principal, the farm, which is the second, or that he's got two farms, one that does cattle in, to one degree and one that does another type of cattle that has their own separate barns. I don't see how that is... not allowed under our zoning board if you allow more than one principal use.
No,
it's just what is a principal use and what is not a principal use. I mean, Morris made a good argument that, hey, the farm is just one principal use.
Yes.
That, huh?
It's a farm.
Right. But can't a farm have more than, like, I mean... If you had
right now my farm's split over two properties. So if the argument is I only have one principal use on two properties, that's kind of a stretch. You know, because I divide my animals, group them in certain ways to make it more efficient and work that way. So the way my farm works is on paper they leave my farm on Old North Berwick Road, and then they come to my house. I need tracking numbers. I need paperwork that shows that they went from that farm to this farm. So to me, that's a clear definition of two principal uses. And those barns stand alone. So if I don't have a calving operation, I can buy feeders in. I can sell feeders. Or would I... do is if I have the calving operation, I can sell young calves. So to me, those are two definite principal uses, two very distinctive buildings set up completely different with different requirements from headlock size to bedding pack to animal stocking density. You know, so I could understand this argument if I wasn't making money or trying to make money farming. If I had one barn that was a hobby, and it's hard to tell me that 35 animals is a hobby. I can show you my bills. You know, so if I had a garage and one barn that was a gentleman farm, then I believe that I wouldn't have this argument of principal uses. But the way that I've set my business up is I have it everything scattered so that I can track everything and with buildings with very specific principal uses.
But all we're dealing with right now
we
is...
We are. But if I have these principal uses, it also throws out the accessory dwellings. It gives me more accessory dwellings. or it gives me more accessory buildings. Mm-hmm. And that is my argument to this interpretation, is right now I have principal uses on my at least two principal uses, whether you say my residential and my farm, that would allow me four accessory dwellings.
Accessory structures.
Can we stop right there, because this will come out several times. Let's go back to 6.3.1b. Mm-hmm. And reread that, because in the general permit, there shall be no more than one building for each principal use.
Yes. Okay?
Calving, weaning, home, residence. Those are three, let's call those three principal uses.
Yes.
Maybe, added, you know, maybe. And no more than
two
buildings for an accessory use, for an accessory use as limited by lot coverage. It doesn't say two accessory buildings for each principal use.
Yep.
It says, okay. And two accessory buildings, period.
Yep.
So, okay, you've got primary, you know, mm-hmm. primary structures, principal structures, and then two accessories. So the way this is written, I don't see any way that you can interpret it, that you get two accessory structures for each principal use. Do you? Or see where it says just and no more than two buildings for an accessory use? Or do you say that when you talk accessory use, it's for each principal?
I don't know, but... So, a residence is the principal use.
Okay, so garage and accessory building. Okay, to the.
It isn't an accessory use. There shall be. Does the garage go with the principal use?
Well, there's a principal use. It's obviously a residence. There's a residence. That's a principal use, and the garage. My garage goes with my residence, so I think it's an accessory building. Actually, mine's attached, but that's besides
the point. The way they're talking about this is an attached
right.
building is not an accessory building. And correct. that's one of the interpretations that's being made.
Let's go with accessory structure. Okay, so, you know, a typical house and a garage sitting next to it. So you've got a house and an accessory structure, the garage. House, accessory, garage. Okay, we got two of those buildings. Mm-hmm. Now let's say we're going to have more principal uses, the weaning operation and the calving operation,
yes.
and you need two separate structures for those. Those
yes.
are both principal uses.
Yep. Still, now, still what do we allowed do with, one more accessory.
Yeah, I can say, now we're allowed one more accessory. And we still have the, what's it called, the covered building?
It's not on a foundation. It's
okay.
literally...
But it's permitted, right?
Nope. Not permitted for...
Okay.
Because it's not on a foundation, there's no money.
All right, so it doesn't require a permit, is that right, Patty? Okay, good. So now we still got one more accessory. Now the lean-to is attached to a building.
That's a barn.
The barn?
No, that's one of the barn, that's a cabin barn.
Oh, okay. So we've already counted it.
Yep.
But why are we counting it? It's attached to another building, right?
It's a barn. That's my cabin.
Yeah, it's a separate building.
Yeah.
Well, it's a separate
building. It's a calving.
It's a calving barn. So on my property, I have my house
I thought you described it as a lean-to.
It's a single slope barn.
Not attached
and
to
I'm,
it?
No, and the okay. tax assessor gave it that determination of a lean-to building. So,
So if we determine that your calving and your weaning operations are two separate principal uses, you'd still be able to have one more accessory structure,
yes.
which could be the accessory dwelling unit.
Yes.
You see, I'm not sure that the intent was not that you can have two accessory buildings for each principal use.
That's just not clear to me.
That's...
It doesn't say that now.
Right, and I'm not here to argue that point.
Right.
I'm here to try to get the interpretation for another accessory dwelling, and that's how I presented my argument. Was I have these primary uses, which allowed me two accessory uses, the garage being one of them, because I don't run a garage. It's tied in with a house, or it's tied in with maintenance of my equipment. But the way the accessory use for accessory dwelling, it's hard to say that's a primary, because right in the definitions is accessory. So if my cabin barn and my weaning barn are primary uses, that allows me two accessory uses, one of them being my garage, one of them being my accessory dwelling. And that's how
I interpreted this, for my benefit, to be honest, because that's the easy way I think I can interpret this. The argument of two buildings for each accessory building, I'm not here to argue that.
Okay, but why isn't a residential building a primary use?
It is.
So why would you want to call that an accessory use?
He's not.
Well,
that's what he said.
Well, my accessory dwelling.
The accessory dwelling would be the one that he
would
wants
be
the permit.
The permit for the accessory.
A small accessory dwelling for an in-law.
For an in-law apartment, or it's an in-law.
Less than 600 square feet.
Yeah.
Well, that's then what MMA suggested is a conflict in our ordinance.
Yes.
And suggested that I deny the permit, which I don't.
Okay, so. The permit that you denied was simply for an in-law apartment.
Detached.
That was detached
accessory dwelling.
Yeah.
That's the accessory dwelling unit that got denied.
Your garage is
detached
also.
Yes.
And if that's used for repairs of equipment and stuff like that, that would be an accessory to your
business.
To your business.
Yep.
One of the businesses. So, I mean, my gut reaction, and I reckon, you know, I admit that I'm not really haven't researched this at all, is that you can have three primary uses if they're found to be different uses, which differentiates it, in my mind, from a marijuana growing facility. And by the way, myself, I had no problem with four or five different buildings, but it was clearly in conflict with this. This is not clearly in conflict.
If you want to start a sawmill operation, you can put a sawmill up on your property.
Hopefully.
If you wanted to do a child care facility, you could do that too with a separate building under the current ordinance. I mean, you could have five different primary purposes, but you still only get two accessory structures, I think, by 6.3.1b.
See, I don't see it that way. I think that you can have up to
See that you get two accessories per primary use? It never says that.
No, but it's but it says, to me, that's the implication. But it's limited by the number of...
As limited by lot coverage requirements.
Yeah, that's the limitation.
But it doesn't say, and no more than two buildings per principal use. It doesn't say that there anywhere, does it?
No, it says...
It just says, and no more than two accessory buildings, period.
No, it doesn't say that. It
yeah,
says...
It does.
It's
more
what
than
it says.
Two buildings for accessory
use. Period.
So how many accessory uses can be allowed?
Well, no. To me, an accessory
you think
use
two accessories
is an accessory to a principal use.
For each primary structure? I don't know. I would say that's...
I'd blame more on that.
When we do our rewrite on this, Don, you got to work on this, okay?
Thank you.
But, I mean, it sounds to me that for his purpose, if he can satisfy the code enforcement officer that... I thought you had left as code enforcement officer. I'm really out of this.
That's
all another story.
Okay.
That's another meeting.
But if you can convince the code enforcement officer that you've got three principal uses, then you're certainly entitled to a building for each principal use and at least two accessory buildings. I think you're actually entitled to two accessory buildings per principal use. That's my interpretation.
I agree with that.
You interpret that 6.3.1b
yep.
that way also?
Yep.
There are two accessory uses for each primary
yes.
for each principal
yes.
use. You agree with that?
I went the other way. But
the other way. Yeah,
you could have
I don't see
multiple
that.
Principal uses.
Well, I agree. I would say you want to have a sawmill and a cattle operation and, you know,
childcare facility. Those are all three separate uses.
And the other thing is that this ordinance, there's a lot of precedent on this ordinance. I've got building or greenhouses that I've got permits for recently that this wasn't an issue because the greenhouses had those principal uses and it just wasn't an issue. So I think if you take into that interpretation plus code enforcement officers that has interpreted it this way for a while now, because I've been in this town for a while, I think you have a lot of precedents that I have a valid argument here.
We need to change the wording of that section to be more clear, obviously.
Exactly. Obviously, that's on our to-do list, right, Don? Okay, good.
Well, if you denied this because you felt at the time that he was limited to one principal use, then I think I believe that was a misinterpretation. Because I think the evidence supports more than one principal use.
Mm-hmm. So, I'm just thinking that in the future when, you know, somebody comes up with a 20-acre lot and says, well, in that building I store my corn, in that building I do this over here, and I do that. They're all farming operations. Is agriculture the principal use, or is storing...
I'm hoping to change the ordinance.
Well, before that point, you know...
There's not that many of us left.
Yeah. We're dying breed, huh?
Something like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, the other thing is, what about the next time somebody comes with a 200-acre parcel?
Right.
And wants to develop...
Some sort of a business operation
yeah. That is primarily farming, but also could have a daycare. It could also have a, be an empire. Is there anything currently stopping or that should stop that from happening? If the property is big enough to support it?
Yeah, that's where I got back to the question of the comprehensive plan. I mean, that's kind of comes in the comprehensive plan kind of concept. It's beyond us. I mean, we deal with this, but that's where the comprehensive plan should be determining what should Lyman look like 100 years from now. I mean, do we want this to allow this kind of development in the meantime? I don't know. But that's not our job. Our job is to look at what we got and say, does this apply or doesn't it? And can we override the code enforcement officer's decision and say, no, there really were more than one principal use as far as those buildings, and therefore it should be allowed because there's multiple principal uses?
I think there's enough conflict there that it can be interpreted one of two, three different ways.
Right.
And so I don't think we should be penalizing him for poorly written ordinance.
All right, everybody got any other questions or thoughts? Need determining any other comments from any interested parties? Okay, I'm going to go ahead and close the public hearing at this time and go into, anybody want to make a motion to vote?
I move that we find in favor of the appellant.
And to allow the accessory dwelling,
yes.
And go back to code enforcement officer, say, you messed up, you misinterpreted this ordinance, can't you see the light here? I mean,
I'm not saying she what? Misinterpreted. I'm saying there's different ways of interpreting.
MMA's got a different opinion, and the town attorney has a different opinion.
Isn't it safer for me to have you guys tell me what this says than... With different ways of interpreting it, with that advice I got, that's why we're here.
Yep. So the motion would be...
To find in favor of the appellant.
Okay. And allow the accessory dwelling unit...
Yes.
At least have the code enforcement officer permit the accessory dwelling unit.
Yes.
Any second on that? Anybody want to amend the motion?
Well, I was going to wait for discussion after, if anybody's going to second it. If nobody's going to second it, then we've got to...
Do you want to second that motion?
Sure, I'll second.
You're second. Now you want to discuss?
Right. I actually don't think that's the right way to go. I think the right way to go is to instruct the code enforcement officer that it's our determination that there can be more than one principal use, that that's the interpretation we have, that there can be more than one principal use. It's not limited by this to even two principal uses. So there can be more than one principal use on a piece of property, limited only by the size requirements, and at least two accessory uses, and that if she feels that he meets the definition of three primary uses, and that there are this is what only resulted two accessory uses, even though I think personally that there could be more than two accessory uses. We don't need to go there on that. We don't need to make new law to that extent that she should then give him the building permit, and otherwise she should deny it.
But that doesn't resolve anything, does it?
Well, I don't think... what it resolves is giving her, basically saying that to the extent that she denied this because she was limiting it to one principal use, we feel that she misinterpreted the statute, which is what he is claiming, that she misinterpreted the statute.
But if you send it back to the code enforcement officer for another decision, then why would our code enforcement officer change that decision?
Well, she's listened to, she should probably listen to what we're saying. I personally don't think I know enough about the building permit, for example, to know if on that it would otherwise stand on its own and be...
the only reason the it was denied permission. Was because of the of this.
The number of uses.
Right. So we're not facing any lot coverage requirements or any other... So,
otherwise, it would be it's permissible. Otherwise,
correct.
In all other aspects, would you be saying that an accessory dwelling is a primary use of its own?
No.
No.
I think that.
So it's accessory to the residence,
right. And you've got to find that the if you're going to take his interpretation of a limiting to two accessory buildings, then I think you've also got to find that the garage is an accessory to one of the primary.
To the residence.
No.
To the farm.
It would be to the farm.
Well, but the residence can have two accessory structures itself. Well, two accessory structures on the property anyway.
Yeah.
I don't care who you assign it to, but
yeah,
you got two accessory structures and you got three primary structures.
Okay. Double.
But that's the way I look at it. Again, I mean, you go back here, the primary uses here, the list, agriculture. Number A, the very first one, agriculture. That's a primary use. Now, you've got two barns. But Jonathan says they're different primary, you know, one's for weaning and one's for calving. Okay. So those are different primary uses. Well, we don't say weaning and, we just say agriculture is a primary use. But any farm you ever see, how many buildings you have on a farm, you know, you got different uses, obviously.
Okay.
I think that we can, it's just a matter of, you got to figure out whether those two barns are established two primary uses or not, or is it just one overall category of agriculture?
Why do you know one use? I don't understand why you guys are splitting that. Why are you splitting that? Why is it all one use? Is the progression
If it's all just one use, then we can only have two primary structures and two accessories. So that's the more primary uses
it.
We have.
It may not be the Joseph, but I don't understand why that isn't one use. Can he have another use on that structure? No. Yeah, on that piece of land. If he's got that one use, can you have another use?
He can have multiple uses as far as I know. He can have a sawmill, he can have a child care facility.
Yeah,
he can get in the trailer park business. I don't know. He can do all sorts of different businesses on there, but.
Explain to me.
He's got agriculture and he's got a residence.
Yeah, right.
Two primary uses.
If that's what you're saying, right?
That's one way of looking at it. Jonathan's way of looking at it is weaning and calving and residence. Plus,
why are you splitting them up? There's one function.
Because that's the way the zoning board is written.
Am I allowed to
speak? How do you interpret that? That's the way the zoning board. I don't interpret it that way.
Just say, I'll get to Jonathan.
It says that is in a general purpose district, there shall be no more than one building for each principal use.
And the one, for each principal use, you have one principal use, right?
Well, that's.
And what do you
that
limits
only have to the one building
in that
so.
Interpretation?
Jonathan, yes.
They gave you accessory buildings?
Right.
You got one principal use, right?
Yeah.
But how many accessory buildings can you have attached to that one principal use?
Two.
So what's wrong with that?
Because he wants five.
But he's got more than one principal use, which you just said that he can have, right?
Yeah, but the question is whether do you get two accessory structures for each principal use, and I don't...
Isn't that what that says? Two accessory structures for each principal use?
Well, it says you get two accessory... uses. Build no more than two buildings for an accessory use, period. Doesn't say for accessory uses for each of the primary purposes.
So that's the hang-up right there.
There's the hang-up. So the more primary purposes you have, the less accessories you've got. So the question is are those...
Actually, no. You have the same...
number.
Yeah, you can still have at least two accessory buildings for a principal use. Because you have two principal uses, can you have two accessory buildings for each principal use? But the principal use has to be different. Because otherwise, if it's the same, if it's the same use, it's not two separate primary uses.
Right, and these barns are designed differently, so I can't move my barns my calves that I'm calving into my weaning barn. Mm-hmm. So to me, those are two completely different uses, and that's my argument with this.
Well, that's your argument with the code enforcement officer.
To the code enforcement officer, you guys to make a determination on. I'm not here to argue how many accessory buildings. That's not what I'm here for. I'm here with the buildings I have on my property. I feel like I fall in, even if we say there's only two accessory uses, I feel like I fall in with that.
Can I see the appeal? My right there.
This one. Oh, this one.
There you go. Thank you. Hmm.
We have a motion that's on the floor that has been seconded. The motion, let's just review the motion again, just so that we're all straight on the motion.
That the board finds in favor of the appellant in his appeal.
And that the town should allow this
yes.
accessory structure.
Yes.
Okay. Let's have a vote. All those in approving that motion, raise your hand. Three. To one, are you voting or you're abstaining, Arden? Mm-hmm. Because you're not sure. All right, those opposed.
Well, I guess it doesn't matter, so I'll abstain.
You'll abstain, there you go. Abstaining. One abstention, okay? So, we will send you a little notice saying, please, change your mind for Jonathan here. It's a good question, but we got a lot of work to do on this ordinance here, obviously.
It's the communal town.
Yeah. There's always a lot of people saying we, not too many people doing anything.
There you go.
2 cents.
I'll agree with that, Don.
Ordinance review committee do that, Don.
Ordinance review committee?
Yeah.
So that concludes the hearing tonight. Thank you all very much. And we'll be sending you a written notice here momentarily, and she'll be giving you a permit, hopefully.
Right there.
Thank you.
We've got to come up with some wording on this. You're going to have to come up with some better wording, Art.
Well, I mean, when...